all we've been trying to instill in the players is get better today, get better today, get better today. Not tomorrow, just get better today. And it's a good start, and that's all it is. It's preseason, and some guys don't play, some guys do, and you know, we're trying to get better and get ready really for Miami coming up.
Yeah, Mingo got out of the hospital today. You know, what projection can you make about when you might get him back?
I just saw him in there. He looks great. As far as projection, you know, the doctors will make that decision, and we just want him to get healthy, and we're just glad that everything's okay. But projection would be whenever his body says it's ready to go.
Are you able to tell us as much as he'll be back soon, or don't you know that much?
I don't know anything. I just saw him at lunch, and he looked good, and I can tell you what he had for lunch, but as far as when he's going to be ready.
What did he have?
He had gumbo.
If he has to miss the last third preseason game or the last two preseason games, what kind of setback is that for a rookie in a position transition that he's in?
Well, for a young guy, he needs every rep he can get. He's smart. He's on page. He's very smart. So for us, it's just reps. It's seeing a different look, seeing Andrew Luck. It's seeing different, you know, fronts and how they want to block him. So it'll retard a little bit. But he's pretty gifted in what he does, and he picks things up fast. So how much? I can't give you a quantitative answer, but it'll hurt him a little bit.
In your film study, could you tell when this may have happened in the game?
It didn't happen on defense. It happened somewhere else. He didn't play any defensive snaps, so he thinks it happened on the first play. I don't think anybody knows.
Ray, can you talk about how Buster Skrine has progressed since you first saw him in OTAs?
I had saw every game last year, and Buster impressed me with his toughness. And, you know, that was one of the first things I said at the press conference is little men that can hit, and he can. He's ferocious. He has no fear, and he has unbelievable quickness in feet and hands, and he's smart. So he's progressing exactly as I hoped. And he's, you know, you have 11 guys that go out there and start for you every game, and I view him when he's on the field as a starter. He has, you know, my complete backing, and he's done a fantastic job. Is he in a battle? I think there's a lot of guys in battles for playing time. I don't care who the starter is. They all start for me once they're on the field. So he's doing everything I expect him to do and want him to do.
On that Mingo injury and how it factors into the position group there, I mean, how much comfort do you take in the fact that you got Kruger, Sheard, Groves, whatever else?
We have a lot of players at a lot of positions that can play for us. And I said that earlier in our first press conference out here together after practice, is that depth is the key for us. We have quality players at a lot of quality positions, and it's kind of a lot of people use the mantra, next man up. And we believe in that philosophy of it doesn't matter. I just said it doesn't matter who the starters are. It's give me 11 guys that want to go out and play and can play. And he is one of our 11. So will it hurt our team? Yeah, it hurt our team because of our depth. But we'll get him back soon, and we'll plug him right back in.
In the context that Kruger was a big free agency signing, and Sheard's making a position change, you've updated that in the PAB, you know, we're a couple weeks through that now. How are Kruger and Sheard coming along as a potential impact players?
They're on page. Jabal's done a fantastic job. You wouldn't know that we've changed from a 4-3 to a 3-4 and moved him from the left to the right. He's just a football player going out playing football. And Paul is picking up the nuances of our defense. He was a 3-4 left outside backer. He is that here, but the terminology is a little different. How I call the game is a little different. And he's getting comfortable with it. I can see the leadership role coming out in him now because he's more comfortable in what he does and what we ask him to do.
When you look at the first two games, you know, we see all the good drives that we talked about. Are there a couple areas you say, okay, this is where we need to get better, especially from that first unit?
Turnovers, I think. And I've called a different game in the preseason because I want our guys to show me something, so I don't call a lot of pressure. I'm more interested in the maturation process of guys individually and how do they react one-on-one and let them go. So the game plan is called differently. But the bottom line is our offense is doing a fantastic job keeping us off the field. And as long as we keep rolling like we're doing on offense, they will help us on defense. So, you know, most of the credit that we've been doing is really a reflection of the offense scoring, keeping us off the field. We're fresh. And that's a big part of our success is our offense success.
Happy versus the run. And especially Jabal seemed like he made three for four plays behind the line of scrimmage the other
day. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with where we're at week two of the preseason. And obviously, you know, Miami will pose a different problem because it's a real game. It's live action. Starters are in every play. So am I satisfied? No. Do I think we're on pace? Yeah. Do I think we'll get better? Yeah, I do.
It's just I'm sure everywhere you've been, you have to lend your best players, even the Mingos and the Haynes, mm-hmm. and the first round picks over to special teams. What is your feeling or philosophy on that? Is it that just?
I think you put your best 11 players on the field at any one time to give you the best opportunity to win. It doesn't matter if this quarterback holding for extra points or if it's, you know, your running back or your wide receiver. You're trying to win and evaluate people, and the sad part about this business is people get hurt because it's a physical game, and that's part of, you know, the process and part of the depth, and he'll be back. And it was just like if he had a stinger or something else, the philosophy is do what you do to win the game, and that's the most important thing.
Have you ever run across a player at any level of your career, whether you were playing or coaching, that had a bruised lung?
I'm not sure. You see all types from, you know, broken bones to concussions. They're all serious when somebody misses, and I don't think it's necessarily the type of injury. It's just he's going to miss some time, and we're just happy that it's not a, you know, career or season-ending injury. So the type, they're all bad when they miss playing time, but I can't specifically say I've seen that.
What has Josh Aubrey shown you since he's obviously – due to injury, he's been in there a lot, but he seems to be making an impact, too.
I think every NFL roster has a Josh Aubrey, meaning somebody that comes out of the woodworks. And we always preach somebody will make our team on special teams and be a surprise. And he's doing all the little things right. He's running the defense. He's taking advantage of his opportunity, of his chance, and we preach to our free agents as they come in, we'll give you an opportunity and a chance. That's all we can offer young men is an opportunity and a chance to make the team. He's taking advantage of that with his, you know, mental capacity to learn the defense and his physical play, and he's been one of the impressive free agents, and there's always somebody that makes a team like that.
Did he stand out at all in the OTAs, or was it because you guys weren't wearing pads and stuff that you really had to take a look at him? And in other words, when you first saw him, mm-hmm. has he gone really far up, or has he just kind of steadily progressed?
It's been a progression, and we give him more. The more he can handle, the more we give him, and he's got a lot of poise. And his fellow teammates, his peers, trust him in the game, and that's a big part of it. Can you trust the guy next to you to do his job? And he's doing that, and there will always be a guy that comes out and go, wow, he is better than we thought, and sometimes you just need a shot. And you can ask the players this. I showed a clip of Victor Cruz because he was a free agent that made it in the league, and there's always a guy like that. And I said, can you be our Victor Cruz and go on and make it? So, you know, you try to show them examples of guys in the NFL that make it, because we don't always know everything about a drafted player or undrafted player. There's always somebody that we miss on because you can't measure certain things. And he's got one of those intangible qualities that you can't measure all the time.
Is the poise? When you were saying one specific quality?
I think so, and maybe he's a young guy that doesn't understand what's going on yet.
Right.
But I was excited to see him last night when the lights came on with the first group, and he did. He looked like a veteran out there, and maybe he's wise beyond his years.
What have you seen? Talk about Dez Bryant specifically, what you're seeing from him.
Mm-hmm. Leadership. He handles the point well. You know, we have a young team, a lot of new guys together, and we're trying to mold something in. I've seen our fans, they yell at us on the sideline and the dog pound and all that. So we're trying to mold something that's going to be sustainable here. And when you get players from different places, you know, they don't quite know their role yet. Can I be a leader? Can I not? Should I keep my mouth shut? Should I just do my job? He's slowly emerging now where guys will trust him and open his mouth and say something because he has experience. And what I like is he's showing it on the field first, and now he's able to speak. But he's an athletic guy that's going to make a lot of big plays for us, I think, up the field.
So what are you seeing from him on the field?
Holding the point versus a double team. When I put him in the three technique, he's able to take that edge and go. When I ask him to what we call ram or jet inside, cross a guy's face, he's able to execute that. So he's able to do what I need a defensive end to do. Play head up in the five technique, play outside shoulder in the six technique, ram inside in the three technique, and he's able to do that because he's athletic. And then on third down, he's one of the two tackles in there and executing game. So he's doing everything that a defensive tackle or defensive end in a 3-4 or 4-3 will do for you.
Hayden and Ward came into the league as a tandem. They kind of hang out together. You see them as, even though one's a safety and one's a cornerback, they're both back-end guys. Do you see them as kind of a twosome, and in what context?
I haven't. I know they have come in the league together. I know they're kind of Siamese twins, if you will, that way. But what I want from them is to be leaders, and I'm challenging those two individuals, because they're young guys. They're in the secondary, to show leadership qualities, show guys, the young guys, what to do. I'm just really pushing for those two guys to step up and be thought of as young, up-and-coming defensive backs that are going to be stars in this league. They both have the physical tools and makeup and the mentality to accept the challenge of, I'm going to be on their best receiver or their best tight end and create plays for our defense.
Hey, Ray, last time we talked, you described free safety as a position of, you know, kind of concern and scrutiny. With Gibson and Bad, mostly there through you know, two preseason games, how do you assess that position now?
I would say it's still the same. You know, we're rotating a lot of guys through. We're changing the combination of who plays together and who doesn't. And, you know, TJ hasn't been in there with Tayshaun, and Josh has been in there with Bat Johnson, and, you know, we're rolling that through. But, you know, we're through two games. On paper, they look good, but, you know, we've got a long way to go. And we just keep telling our guys, just keep getting better today. And that's our mantra, get better today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And that's where we're at. But I also don't want us to be on a roller coaster. We're young. And I don't want them to get, oh, we've arrived, we're good, and just put everything back and then take a step backwards. I want us to keep building. And we haven't got there yet. We haven't played a game. Statistically, we're, you know, whether you want to say we're first or last, we are there, because we haven't played a game yet. That counts. But we're taking steps to get better. I like our depth, and I'll keep saying that. I like our depth, where if we have an injury, right now we're able to absorb the injury and move on. So it's still early for me to sit here and say what we are.
Right. One of the things that was key to your defense last year in Arizona was the ability to get off the field on third downs. You know, for the first seven possessions with the with your first unit, you've shown that same ability. And obviously you're not using your exotic schemes or anything like that. How happy are you with that, I think, 33% at this point?
I like that they're excited. I look down on the field and I see Phil jumping around and Quell jumping around. I like that it's important to them, and they've kind of taken ownership of it. They bring up plays for me. The D-line coach wants pressure, so it's easy for me to call a game right now, because they want certain things, and they know, well, if we do this, like I say, everybody will eat in our defense, and they've really taken ownership. If you guys listen to them on the field, they always start saying 11 to the ball. That's something I say I want. And they are starting to take ownership, so I start talking less and less. So I like the path that we're on, and it's a 16-game season to get into the postseason, and we're just trying to get better every day. And right now, my focus is on Miami.
Phil Taylor told us he drew up a play for you. How did that all come about?
I played it in the game. I like players to be smart, to be invested, to have ownership. And I always say, if you can come up with something that will work and that's solid, schematically sound, I'll run it. And I've already received four plays from players that, can you run this? I look at it, and all four are viable, all four in our defense. I called one of them in the game last night, and it worked. So I think the players really feel like this is our team, and I want it to be their team. It's not my team. I hope it's not Chud's. I hope it's the Cleveland Browns team, where the players are invested, where, you know, they're the ones that make the plays. And I think if you give them ownership, they respond to you.
Was it Phil's play the guy called, or somebody else?
It was Phil's play.
How much do you like having him in the middle? He seems, when you watch him, he seems to have that nasty streak, but the nasty streak that you want as a defensive coordinator.
I love our front. Our guys run, and I knew that before the first press conference. So when I talked about big men that can run, I'd already seen it, so I know they do that. And our front is exceptionally gifted in depth and talent and strength and speed and desire and willingness to run to the ball. So for me, Phil is just one of those players, but, you know, he's one of the young studs or cogs in the system that should be a dominant player.
Did you see enough of Leon McFadden before the groin to know what he's going to be able to do when he gets healthy, where he fits?
He's one of the ones that we need to get a good look at, and unfortunately he's missed the first two games, and we're hoping that he'll be ready this week, waiting for a medical report. But he's a question mark that I don't know. He hasn't taken a NFL snap yet, and at that position, we all know how critical secondary defensive backs, corners are in this league, and it's hard for a rookie to start, period, and then a rookie that's never played is hard to start. So he gets an incomplete in my book because I haven't seen him in live action, but I like his skill set.
Hey, Ray, in watching both sides of the ball in these first two preseason games, are you starting to perhaps get the feeling that maybe you guys are onto something special and that you guys can do some great things this season?
I love our offense. I know that. I'm their biggest cheerleader upstairs. And I keep going back. The offense really helps us on the defense, and they've had good ball control. Brandon's been doing a great job. Jason Campbell's been doing Jordan Camp. All these guys are doing the offensive line. So you just sit and look, and I just sit back and smile because they're moving the ball control, third down, everything you want from an offense. So I know you guys are talking about the defense, but for me, the offense is really the focal point of our team. I mean, they're doing a fantastic job, and they're moving the ball, controlling the ball, no turnovers. And if we have that, they make our defense better. So I'm a big proponent and big cheerleader of our offense.
How much is your defense still helping that offense right now, do you think?
I don't know. They're keeping the score down, I think. So I don't know. Again, I give us an incomplete, but I give the offense an A because they're doing an outstanding job.
I mean, as far as out here, because you're going against them every single day. Mm-hmm. So, how much do you think that's helping those guys on that side of the ball be as successful?
I'd tell you probably the biggest plus is the formation variety that our offense gives us. They give us things we don't see, and it makes us think and adjust. But when I look back and what Travis Benjamin has done on special teams, I mean, it makes the defense easy because they know they're going to score some points and they can control the ball, and it helps us a lot. And that's our biggest, asset, I think, is the way our offense is playing right now.
Question about Ruben on two levels. Mm-hmm. One, not that the team, we don't know that the team ever was talking about trading him draft time because of a glut, but is that or would it have been something you would have resisted strongly? And at this point, what do you make of Ruben?
I wasn't privy to any of that. Ruben is, I think, going to become a valuable player. Some of that's hidden yardage, on offense, and some of it's on defense. You can't see it because he's in the line. But Ruben's been very stout, very good. He's becoming a leader. He's one of these guys that's coming out of the shell. He's a quiet man, but he's starting to come out because he knows he's a good player. He knows that his teammates trust him, and so he's starting to talk more. Whereas first I didn't know he could talk, but now he's opening up, and so he's one of those guys that you probably don't miss until he's gone, and you're like, what happened? And he just does his job very, very, very well. If you watch the tape, he dominated in the game.
Does Craig Robertson, I think you called him ace in the hole, we saw what he could do last mm-hmm. year. Is a guy like that with his size or speed and lack of size, because the game has evolved, is that allowed a guy like Craig Robertson to play inside linebacker in the NFL because it's so spread out now and there's such a need for guys that can cover like that?
Yeah, I think I classified him as, the old Ronnie Lott in the old days, meaning the big, strong safety. He'd be a strong safety in the old days. Now he's this inside backer that can run a three-down player, and it's a space game now. It's basketball, it spreads you out, run, and create space matchups. And he's gifted, mentally. He's very sharp, very smart, and he understands football, and he has the ability to change direction.
Can you think of a couple of other guys throughout the league that are similar to Craig as far as the speed at that position, and because of the way the game has changed, they're very valuable?
Well, you hate to compare players, but if you look at what Arizona had last year at the same position, he's the same guy. And what Pittsburgh, it's a classic 3-4 inside, weak side backer. You need a guy that's smart and fast and that's athletic and then can tackle. And there's a lot of players in the league like that. But he has that special skill set of being smart, tough, fast, and has the ability to sink his hips and change direction. And he's exactly what I want.
Ray, I know you talked about Buster's screen mm-hmm. a little bit earlier. But
dog pound. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. As far as Chris Owens, obviously mm-hmm. missed a little time lately, but how do you look Thursday, and how do you just kind of view him in the grand scheme of things, that corner?
Competition, yep. Competition is good for us. the more guys you have competing and you think that are potential starters, the better your team is depth-wise, injury-wise. And I keep going back to my little saying of, when Chris is on the field, he's one of my 11 starters. I see him, Buster, Joe, I see them all the same as they're starters for me that go in. I don't blink. I don't care who's in the game. I'm happy that all of them are in the game. One of them's in the game, two of them. He's a starter for me in my mind, and we view him that way. We view Buster as a starter, and it's just a matter of you can only have so many guys on the field, and they will be on the field together.
Is one of those guys better at the outside than the other? One guy better in the slot than the other? I mean, how do you balance that?
If they're one is 21, the other one's 22, the numbers. if you switch them, I wouldn't know which one. I mean, really, they are, to me, they're clones of each other. You know, we talked about Joe and TJ being Siamese twins. They are really Siamese twins. They're same body build, same quickness, same height, same competitiveness. I think the competition has helped them get better. I think they would both say, he has pushed me to be better.
And then Quinn and Groves, obviously, you have previous history with him. How, first of all, why did you want to bring him with you to your new location, and how valuable has he been in terms of, you know, the whole transition? You're implementing this new system, and he already knows it.
Well, first of all, he's a good football player. And second of all, I think he can help our team in ways that are unseen. Quinton was a second-round draft pick that was out of the league. He'd been with two teams, and I use him as an example. He talks in front of our players about how precious this league is. It's not forever, and you're not guaranteed just because you're a second-round pick to make any team. And it can be taken away from you by injury, by performance. And so he gives me this added bonus of talking to the players on their level of, guys, you better appreciate it because it is going to go away, or if you don't, they'll get you out the building. And so he has a different perspective on football, on life, on pads, on practice. And not only that, he's a good player for us. He adds fantastic depth on our first and second down, third down defense and special teams. And, you know, he's been one of our better leaders on the team. I think the guys embrace him and they listen to him.
As an aside, I don't know if we've ever asked you this, but you came in here to the old grimy stadium in the old days. Mm-hmm. What did you make of this this place in the old days, and that the little locker room and the dirty walls and all that business?
Going through the dugout, the dirt, the cold water, the nails, tight locker rooms. You know, Mr. Haslam has changed this into a, you know, really it's a palace, and they've given us great players to work with, great facility to work with. And I tell you, I keep going back to the fans, and I guess I get a different perspective as you go out in the community. I don't know what it was like before because I wasn't here, but when you go out last night to eat dinner at Danny Boy's Pizza, you know, and the crowd's in there, and the fans are in there saying, hey, good job, really what they're saying is the players are doing a great job. The players are doing a great job. When you meet people in the airport and they talk about the dog pound and where they sit at in the stadium, I'm happy to be here because it's a community that's passionate about football. And I go back to what we said before, we want to get better and we want to put a great product out there for them because, I mean, we get excitement when we go down there and they're cheering for us and we just want to give them the same thing in return.
How did you like running across those baseball infields, knowing that you could skin your arm up pretty good?
Well, here's what I remember about Cleveland, the old stadium. I think it was Municipal Stadium, I think is what they called it back then. Batteries being thrown at you, snowballs being thrown at you, a fight near the dog pound because there was an incline going up. Much better facility now. I know the fans still yell, which is good, but I'm on their side now, so that part is good, a good change.